The message tonight is simple. It's this: Jesus, the ultimate Christmas gift. It's from Matthew chapter 2, and Christmas really is a time for gift giving. But do you ever have trouble finding a gift for someone? I know I have. And it says, according to a recent survey, 90% of Americans feel that Christmas is their favorite holiday. Amen? But only 20% of them enjoy Christmas shopping. I think they probably interviewed more men than ladies, because I don't think I know a woman that doesn't like Christmas shopping. I think it's embedded in their DNA. But guys aren't wired that way. I remember back when I was single, a young guy, I remember Christmas shopping. I would wait till the very last minute, as late as could possibly be on Christmas Eve, and I would hit something called the Midnight Madness Sale at a place called Pick and Save. Does anybody out there remember Pick and Save? It was like, in case you don't know what Pick and Save is, it was the predecessor of Big Lots. But I would go through Pick and Save with my shopping cart, and I would check out all the deals that were on sale, and I would just randomly just pick up everything that was on sale that I could, that I knew I had money for, as long as it didn't cost too much. And after I got my stuff in my cart, I would check out, I would go home, I would dump everything out on the floor, and then I would decide who was going to get what. And then, being a young single guy, I didn't really care about using wrapping paper, so I just found some newspaper, preferably the comics, and I would wrap up the gifts with some masking tape. That was a long time ago. But since then, I've gotten older and I've gotten a little bit better at Christmas shopping. So nowadays, I let my wife do it. And she does a much better job than I do. Back in Matthew chapter number 2, I'm not sure if the wise men had a hard time shopping for this young Jesus. But we do know this: they brought him some pretty special gifts. In Matthew chapter number 2, this account in our Bible is perhaps one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. It centers around Christmas, and it's about these wise men that have traveled from a faraway land to come and visit and bring presents to this young Jesus. On Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we read how it begins. It says this: "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him.'" That second verse there has intrigued people for centuries, and they've wondered, what is this star in the east? Well, the answer is, we don't exactly know. But we do know this: it was something miraculous, something supernatural from God that definitely caught the wise men's attention. It caught their attention so much that these wise men made the journey of their lives, the journey to see Jesus. Now, these wise men, they traveled in the direction of this star. And may I add that this was not an easy journey for them. Back in that day, they didn't have planes, they didn't have trains, they didn't have automobiles. And may I also add that they had to travel a long distance. But nevertheless, they did it. What could possibly have motivated these wise men to make their way on this treacherous journey over hundreds of miles across the desert? And the answer was this: they came to see a baby king. But when they got to Jerusalem, they would have to face another king, old King Herod, historically known as Herod the Great. He reigned on his throne for 43 years, and he wasn't a nice guy. As a matter of fact, right before Herod was to die, he's quoted as saying this: "Get some of the best-known citizens of our land, and when I perish, make them perish. If the people don't shed any tears for me, maybe they'll shed some tears for them. And I want there to be some tears when I die." Not a guy that you would want to be on your bad side, huh? And now these wise men were about to make his acquaintance. And Herod believed that he was in fact, the King of the Jews. Now, when reading this passage, when the wise men ask that question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? You would assume that Herod, as well as all of Jerusalem, would know the answer, right? You would assume they probably were even more excited than these wise men who came from a land far, far away. But the Bible says when the wise men asked them that question, Herod didn't know. The people didn't know. No one was excited. Verse number 3 actually says this. It says, when Herod the king heard these things, he was what? Troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. But still the question needed to be answered. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? So Herod called his scribes, he called his chief priests, and he sought out the answer. And they found the answer. And where did they find the answer? They found it in the book of all books. They went to the scriptures. And it was in the Bible that they discovered the very place that the young Jesus would be born. And that place was the little town of Bethlehem. Right. And the wise men, they started to set out for Bethlehem, which is just 5 miles south of Jerusalem. And the Bible says that the star led them on their way. And verse number 9 in that chapter tells us this. It says, and when they heard the king, they departed. And the star, which they saw in the east, went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. Verse number 10 goes on to say this. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with great excitement. And you and I probably would have done the same thing. We would have been in awe to see what they saw. But it doesn't even stop there. In verse number 11, the Bible continues, and it says, and when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. Let me stop there. These men had completed their treacherous journey over 500 miles across a desert, and now they found their king.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? And this child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, of God, oh Mary, did you know? Oh Mary, did you know? The blind will see, and the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. Did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Oh, Mary, did you know
an angel of God came to me and said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Listen, you will conceive a son, and you will name him Jesus. For he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. For with God, nothing shall be impossible."
Angels came to the both of us too. The first to Mary, telling her that Jesus will be born to save his people from their sins. I didn't believe it at first. But then the angel told me that this baby will not be an ordinary child, that he will be the Son of God.
Let us all sing praises to our Messiah.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the
I often wondered when the wise men finally came to see the young Jesus why they weren't disappointed. After all, he didn't look like a king. He had no royal scepter in his hand. He issued no royal decrees. He commanded no armies. He made no speeches. He passed no laws. There was nothing to make you think that he was a king. From the outward perspective, he was just a peasant child that had a home of humble resources. But to those wise men, he was a king. He possessed more royalty in his humble home than Herod had in his grand palace. Somehow these wise men were able to see beyond the present and into the future. They were able to see that one day that this young child would rule the world. And they were not ashamed to fall on their faces before him and worship. Think about the contrast here in our Bible between young King Jesus and King Herod. When those wise men were before Herod, there's no mention in the scriptures that they offered any worship to him. But when they came to Jesus, they offered him their all. What Herod craved, this young child received. How wise were these wise men? I don't know. Did they understand all this? I'm not sure. But one thing I do know is this. They bowed down and worshiped him. Why? Because this baby was God. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says it very clearly that this child was, in fact, God in the flesh. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called," say it with me, "Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Mighty God, capital G, Eternal Father, capital F, Prince of Peace, capital P. This baby would, in fact, be God in the flesh. Now we fast forward 2,000 years and we have the complete story recorded for us in the Bible. And how could you and I not worship and adore him today? This child, the baby that we are talking about, is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Paul wrote this: He says, wherefore, who God has highly exalted his name and has given him a name above all names, whereby which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord. You see, when these wise men came to visit the young Jesus, they didn't cuddle him. They didn't play with him. And, you know, we love to play. We love to cuddle babies and young kids. We like that. But they didn't do that. What they did instead was they bowed their knee in reverence to him. And they recognized that he is a king. In fact, the king. But his kingdom on this earth, we know, is still future. So where does this king reign today? In Colossians 3:15, the Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. You see, Jesus wants to be the king of your heart. And if he's the king of your heart, he'll be the king of your life. When these wise men came and visited Jesus, the Bible continues in Matthew chapter 2, verse number 11. It says, and when they had opened up their treasures and they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wise men are most remembered for their giving of gifts, but there's more to them that meets the eye. The first gift was gold, and that was a gift that was suitable to give to a king. The second gift was frankincense. Frankincense was used in temple worship. It was a way to demonstrate worship unto God. And they recognized that Jesus was truly God, born in a human body, who deserves our worship. But then we have the third gift. The third gift was myrrh. And myrrh was a substance made of a fragrant flower. And myrrh was something that was used normally after a person died. And it was used to anoint the body and prepare it for burial. Can you imagine bringing a gift like that to a kid? That's weird. But why did they do that? Because not only did the gift of gold represent the fact that Jesus was king, not only did the gift of frankincense represent that Jesus is God, but the gift of myrrh represented and foretold the future, that this young child would one day offer his life for a sacrificial death.
Jesus lived for 33 years on this earth. He went throughout all the land doing miracles, touching lives, healing hurting people, and changing hearts. But 33 years after that virgin birth, and after having lived a completely sinless life, Jesus was crucified. But why was the innocent and sinless one sent to die on the cross? Well, that was God's plan of substitution. See, Jesus died for you and for me. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That means the payment for our sin is death. And Jesus made that eternal payment for us. Have you ever lied or taken something that didn't belong to you? I have. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us is found guilty. But that's why Jesus came into this world, to make that final payment for our sin, so that we could be forgiven. And you see, 3 days after he was crucified and buried, he rose back to life again. See, Jesus is God's gift. Romans 6:23 declares, for the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is offering a gift to all of us of eternal life. And it just requires us to put our faith alone in Jesus, to personally trust in him. And tonight, during this most joyous time of year, we wanted to offer everyone a gift that's far greater than our gift of this Christmas service. And that's the gift of eternal life. Do you know for sure when you die that you will go to heaven? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that he rose to life again? Do you believe God's promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? If you do believe that, and if you have never prayed to trust Jesus as your Savior before, we would like to invite you to do that tonight. There's no greater or more important decision any of us will ever make in this life. Would everyone please bow your heads and close your eyes with me? If you would like to trust Jesus as your personal Savior tonight for the first time in your life, you can repeat this prayer after me, silently, not out loud, just between you and the Lord. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you sent your Son, and he died for me and rose to life again. I ask you now to forgive me and save me and give me eternal life. With everyone's heads bowed and all eyes still closed, if you just prayed to have Jesus come into your heart tonight for the first time in your life, would you just quietly raise your hand for us? You can put your hands down. Amen. Everyone can look this way. If you prayed that prayer tonight, if you trusted Jesus for the first time in your life, then God bless you. You made the greatest decision and received the greatest Christmas gift you could ever receive. And we want to welcome you into the family of God.